I didn't go to film school. You know, I like Tarantino says, I went to film. You know, and when I was a little kid, I remember being about 5 years old. And my mom actually took me to the doctor, and she thought that I was autistic because I would watch the same movie over and over and over and over and over again until I knew every line and every scene and try to get, like, the essence of a movie before I would go to the next one. I was supposed to direct my first film. I thought that I was going to be an actor. And I was pretty much forced to do my first film because, you know, it's a modern-day female Fight Club. You know, I loved Fight Club. I loved Gone in 60 Seconds. I thought they were fabulous movies. But then I often thought, like, how would an audience appeal to that if there were, like, females out there that really, you know, were in these male-driven roles. So I always, you know, I only do about one film a year, and when I do it, you know, I really kind of, everything is really pre-thought through, every element, every character, especially being a writer-director, and so usually my films have always kind of happened because something has inspired me, or I guess you could say that emotionally I was so invested in the topic that I pretty much forced myself to make the film. And, you know, let's face it, there's a lot of competition out there, and a lot of people are going to tell you, hey, that's, you know, too many characters, or you can't make it that way. And that's when, you know, many artists just have to say, well, there are no rules in this, and I'm going to go out and make art. And I've done that in every single movie that I've ever made.
Do you plan to work with the same actors over and over again?
You know, originally I envisioned on doing 3 motion pictures. And I wanted to use the same actors in all 3 of them. I wanted to do a drama. I wanted to do a time period piece. And then I also wanted to do an action film. And I wanted to basically use the same 3 actors in 3 motion pictures to actually show the ranges of the actors. Nadine Crocker was somebody that I had met, very avant-garde girl, and I love her. And her and Melinda, the executive producer Melinda and Nadine were both my actors in the first film. And then I expressed to Melinda Steffen, you should, you know, write your own material. It's very important as an actor to write and try to see how this happens behind the camera. Because me personally, I feel as though it gives an actor even more dynamic because they know camera angles. They know that it's more than just a call sheet and a call time and showing up and giving a performance. They're able, it actually helps their characters to understand what goes into that line. And so, you know, working with Nadine and Melinda in the first one, when Melinda had gotten her film financed, she immediately said, I want to work with Nadine. And I think Nadine is a fabulous actress. She's coming out in multiple features this year. She's really taking off. And, you know, she's got some really lovely agents over at Gersh. And I'm very happy for her. Very happy for her.
She certainly does have a presence on screen.
Absolutely. You know, and that auditioning process was not easy. I was basically in auditions for over a month. I saw over 5,000 girls. And it was literally the last day of auditions, and I had 3 headshots. And I learned, you know, this one can play, you know, the mom role, or this one can play the Fight Club role. And I actually met Nadine because she was sitting in, getting ready to go into another audition. And I saw her, and I thought, that's my girl. And she was sitting there, and I approached her, and she had her earbuds in. And she ripped one out, and she kind of looked at me, and she goes, I'm preparing for an audition. What do you want? And I'm like, wow, you are full of piss and vinegar. And I told her a little bit about the project, real brief. I just left her with the script, and I left the audition, and me and my assistant came back, and Nathan called me. She goes, this is the role. This is the role. I need to audition. And she actually came to my home an hour later, and we had a 3-hour conversation. And it was very serendipitous. She never even read for me. I cast her from our conversation. I'm just a very real person. And for me, in terms of my directorial style, I genuinely don't care about an audition. If I can sit across from a table and see someone, you know, just talk and see it as we're just having an organic conversation, that's how I find the actors that I want to work with. I've never really found them through an auditioning room. Red Velvet Cake, I never even had a formal audition process. I found all the actors organically. Same thing for the most part with The Undercard and Platonic Solid. And, you know, I had my wish list, so to speak, on this last one. But I think that, you know, dance really kind of cuts out the bullshit. You know, once you've been a ballerina and you've been through that for 17 years, there is no sugarcoating being a ballerina. You're all or nothing. You are or you're not. And there is no fine line in between. And so I think that by being groomed that way, you're able to execute. You're able to say, okay, you are or you are not. I think that's the reality in it.
Well, it's interesting, a ballerina growing up in Vegas, too. So talk about getting hit over the head with reality.
Yeah. I grew up super poor. And, you know, my parents always, you know, gave every last dollar for me to go to private school. And, you know, my mother was pretty fabulous in a way, and she was very, very strict on me. And she always said, you know, focus on doing one thing really well. Forget being able to do, you know, softball and soccer and this and that. Figure out what you want to do and do it and stick to it. And so, you know, my younger brother is a phenomenal pianist. He did took piano lessons for 15 years. I did ballet for 17 years. You know, that's just how we were groomed, you know. And you understood the sacrifice, too. I mean, when you grow up poor and you're living, you know, check to check, and you see your parents going without so you can go with, you know, it puts a little bit of, I don't want to say pressure, but you really understand the level of, you know, a check going to your dance school and realizing that, you know, your mom's not going to Ross to get a new outfit for work this week, you know, so you become invested. You know, you realize at a young age the sacrifice. And, you know, when somebody sacrifices, I think it makes it another individual become more determined. You know, without sacrifice, I don't think you have, you don't realize how invested you have to become.